Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
This is America on the Road, named best radio show by the International Automotive Media Conference, and now in its 32nd year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. I'm Jack Nierad. With me is co-host Chris Teague. Chris, how do you typically celebrate the 4th of July?
Well, we were on vacation this year, but we always love watching the fireworks, which we did down in Florida. How about you guys?
Yeah, we have been going to Texas and doing a lake vacation where there's fireworks all the way around the lake. It is really cool. The whole 4th of July weekend is very cool with fireworks there. So it is 4th of July weekend, and happy birthday to America. We love America. We're America on the Road. Plenty of news to talk about this week. Mercedes-AMG has pulled the wraps off what I think is a super cool hyper-performance concept vehicle. We'll have more on that. I'm curious as to Chris's take on that. At the same time, a cargo ship carrying thousands of vehicles caught fire, burned for several weeks, then sunk off the coast of Alaska. For some reason, Chris, I love shipwreck stories, and we'll have all the details on this one. Maybe it doesn't say good things about me. Tesla is in a stew in France over its full self-driving system, and the French are cranky about the brand for other reasons, too. We'll have additional information on that for you coming up. A judge has temporarily blocked the administration's efforts to delay or cancel EV-related infrastructure projects after officials in 14 states filed a suit contesting the move. This will be a case of your tax dollars not at work, maybe. We'll have to see what happens with that, and I'm curious as to electric driver Chris's reaction to all this. We'll give you our thoughts coming up. So we have a ton of news this week. Is there a story you're most eager to talk about, Chris?
I like shipwrecks too, Jack. And it's also pretty interesting. This is like the second or third one of these we've had in the past 5 years. So not fun to talk about for the automakers, but it is fun for us.
Yeah. And happily, nobody was injured. I think they evacuated the crew, as I understand it. America on the Road is brought to you by DrivingToday.com, EMLancey.com, the publisher of my latest book, Only One Thing Stays the Same, and Mercury Insurance. If you're looking to save some money, you should switch to Mercury for your auto and home insurance. Californians save an average of $670 with Mercury. So imagine how much you could save. Get a quote today at DrivingToday.com/auto insurance. Well, Chris, quickly, what is your test vehicle for this week?
I drove the 2025 Mustang GT Premium Convertible. I can't wait to tell you all about it.
I can't wait to hear about that Mustang. I had the 2025 Genesis GV80 Coupe. We have a terrific guest for you. Tim Seward is chief designer at Onyx Motorbikes, and he's got cool things to talk about, a real American success story. So stay with us for all that, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
The Columbia Interchange System was revolutionary when it was designed over 40 years ago, and it's still breaking ground to this day, featuring 3-in-1 jackets that adapt to fluctuating weather patterns to keep you warm, dry, and protected no matter what. Whatever the weather, Interchange is there. Shop Interchange jackets and more at Columbia.com.
Hey, Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
If your family's summer style needs a little pick-me-up, you've got to go to Kohl's. They have everything from polos and cute dresses to comfy kids' outfits and Sephora essentials, plus more. Not to mention, you can get 20% off some of your faves and earn Kohl's cash. Yep, summer's already looking more stylish, all thanks to Kohl's. Select styles. Offer ends July 6th. Some exclusions apply. Coupons and Kohl's cash do not apply to Sephora. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Switching to Progressive is a game-winning call. And that reminds us of other game-winning calls in the history of sports.
It was a doubleheader in August and really hot inside the concession stand. So instead of waiting for people to come to me, I figured I'd walk around yelling,
"Hot dogs here!"
And that's how I became the first hot dog vendor in sports.
Okay, not really a game-winning call, but it was a good call. You can make one, too. Switch to Progressive and you could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states.
Find what you love. Love what you find. A Total Wine and More. There's so much waiting for you. Spirits and beer. Thousands of wines. Walk right through the door. It's all here to explore. With guides in the know. When price is so low. It just might blow your mind. And love what you find.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Road. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road with Chris Teague. Jack Nierad back with you. It is news time on America on the Road. Interesting news stories. I love a shipwreck story. We're coming to that. But before we get to that, I'd love to talk about this Mercedes AMG GT double X concept. I think it's really cool looking. It's a four-door coupe. It has cutting-edge battery technology, incredible amount of horsepower. Right off the top, what do you think about this vehicle, Chris?
I love the design, and I've been trying to rack my brain for the name of the original concept car that this one reminds me of. Mercedes made one back in the 70s or 80s. It's just such a striking design. I can't say anything bad about it.
It really harkens back to me to the 60s in a lot of ways. I see a lot of 60s hypercars or supercars in this design, which I happen to like, being the old guy and everything. What is not old about it is its 1,341 horsepower. I mean, this is absolutely nuts. It has smaller, lighter, and power-dense motors in this thing. There was apparently a British specialist called Yaza that participated in the development of this. And this vehicle will go, they say, 223 miles an hour. That's a pretty stout top speed, don't you think?
I do. It'd be interesting to see how the range decreases during top speed runs, though.
Yeah. 800-volt high-voltage performance battery with cylindrical cells, direct oil cooling of the batteries. It's interesting that they're doing a lot of oil cooling or cooling of batteries these days. It's necessary. The thermal management system ensures consistent performance by controlling cell temperatures. Pretty important, and maybe our next story will indicate why that is. It has active aero wheels with self-powered Bluetooth-controlled blades that open to control brake cooling and downforce, a fluid light panel of the MBUX system that displays charging and performance data via 700 programmable LEDs, and luminescent paint as a communication tool. I mean, this is way above and beyond, isn't it?
Yeah, but again, I love seeing it. You know, the Mercedes has the AMG One, so they're building like an F1 car for the road, and this is kind of the same thing on the electric side. I mean, for my budget, they might as well be building a spaceship, right? I mean, like, This is not something I'll ever afford, but I really like to see the pushing boundaries of the technology here.
And that's what I love about concept vehicles. And this harkens back to concept vehicles that we used to see, right? That weren't just kind of made over production cars, although maybe this will come to production in a way and a very limited production, I imagine, at very high prices. It has biotech-based materials inside, a leather alternative. We might call that plastic, I guess, but maybe not. That's made from GT3 racing tires and lab-grown silk proteins. Don't try this at home. Interesting. Motorcycle-style steering wheel. I think it's just plain cool.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll make a few of them, and I'm sure they're already sold out.
Yeah, there you go. Let's talk about this shipwreck. For some reason, I love shipwrecks. I mean, I cover true crime and do that. But before that, I was a big shipwreck aficionado. I read book after book on shipwrecks when I was a teenager and a young adult. And I guess tragedy is in my blood for some reason. This is a shipwreck that occurred off the coast of Alaska. A cargo ship carrying more than 3,000 vehicles has sunk after catching fire at sea and then burning for a long time. The ship was named the Morning Midas. It was en route from China to Mexico. A blaze broke out on the vehicle on June 3rd, and then it burned for 3 weeks. And finally, they evacuated the crew happily. And then the ship took on water and sank off Alaska's Adak Island. I think that the implication is that the electric vehicles on board were responsible for this. There were 800 electric vehicles on board. What's your take on all of this, Chris?
Yeah, that was there was a crash, or we talked about this before, the shipwreck back in 2019, 2020, which was a Porsche Bentley Volkswagen ship. That was electric vehicles. There was also a Hyundai shipwreck a few years ago with the same deal. So it's not that surprising. I've heard a lot of jokes about people saying they were trying to avoid tariffs or, you know, get an insurance payment or whatever. But I really think this just speaks to how hard it is to put out a fire at sea.
Yeah, and especially a fire in electric vehicles at sea, because those are very, very difficult to put out. I mean, a lot of times they just dump one of those vehicles in a lake, right? I mean, they have a big lake there. It's called the Pacific Ocean. But these were vehicles from SAIC Motors, Cherry Automobile, kind of a ripoff of Chevy, I think, and Great Wall Motors, all built in China, all going to Mexico, where the Chinese have a pretty strong presence these days, unbeknownst to us here in the United States. Apparently, there were 70 fully electric vehicles aboard, 681 hybrid vehicles. And although they have not said, they're kind of blaming the fire on those vehicles. They're also wondering about recovery of these vehicles, which seems incredible, like why they would even consider that. I mean, a ship sinking in the ocean, I think those cars are gone for good, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, unless they're just trying to prevent, you know, thousands of years of lithium battery degradation, you know, spilling out into the ocean. I don't know how long they last, but
I don't know how they're going to find them. And they're probably several hundred feet, if not thousands of feet down in the ocean, I would think.
Yeah, some very deep spots in the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, I think they're forming a new reef out there. Well, Tessa is in French Boulabaisse over full self-driving claims. You're a chef, among other talents that you have. Have you ever made bouillabaisse?
I have made bouillabaisse.
And you're saying really it better than I do, too. Thank you. Tell us about it.
Oh, it's been so long since I've made it. I actually haven't even eaten it in a long time. You know, one of my favorite seafood-type stews is in San Francisco, actually, Chipino. I would take that over bouillabaisse any day.
There you go. Well, the French government is threatening Tesla we're saying they're in hot water, basically. Threatening Tesla with very steep financial penalties over what they say is deceptive business practices. How this is just surfacing now, I'm not quite sure, but this revolves around something we've talked about on the show frequently, their full self-driving technology. France's Consumer Watchdog Agency, which has a bunch of initials, is the name of this thing. It's like an eye test, really. It's the DGCCRF. Has given Tesla 4 months to correct the violations or face daily fines of about $58,000. It's interesting. A lot of consumer complaints about Tesla's ordering and delivery process are also out there. But let's talk about full self-driving again. I mean, this is something that we've kind of kicked around several times, but it looks like the French are on this too.
Yeah, I mean, you can complain or make fun of the French complaining about everything, but they do call it as they see it. Look, we've talked about full self-driving several times, even if it's, you know, from a marketing standpoint or a safety standpoint. I still think the title's a bad look. I think you shouldn't call something full self-driving that doesn't actually fully self-drive the vehicle. And if you rely on it too much, it could become a safety problem. So I don't have any problem with this.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens with that. It seems like there's a lot of problems with Tesla right now, and Elon Musk is fighting off on a lot of fronts here. Let's talk about this temporary block to the Trump administration's freeze on $5 billion in electric vehicle charger funding. 14 states sued to prevent this from happening, to prevent the halt of this. I guess they're trying to force the federal government to spend this $5 billion. We'll see how this unfolds. It might have really unfolded during the days that we're preparing the show here. But the suit was brought by a lot of states, California, New York, Illinois, and Washington among them. And they want to proceed with these infrastructure projects that were part of the inflation, quote unquote, Inflation Reduction Act of the previous administration. You're a electric vehicle owner. How do you feel about all this?
Yeah, you know, I'm perfectly fine not spending tax dollars on on infrastructure that only benefits, well, a very small percentage of the population at this point. But look, I mean, if you're going to promise the money, right, which the Biden administration and the legislation that came out then did, get everyone set up to use that money and then get the, you know, the expenditures in place behind it and then pull the money, you're just going to cost what could be billions of dollars more. So at this point, the money's been promised. It should go to where it's been promised to go. But I'm fine, you know, just say no future investment will be made. I mean, don't cut it as it stands.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I wonder how much of these are full-on projects that are, you know, shovel-ready, so to speak, and others are just, here's some money that's going to go into a state slush fund that might go to something like building a train that goes nowhere, as we do here in California. Well, when we come back, we will have two very cool road test vehicles, including the Ford Mustang and the Genesis GV80. So stay with us for that, and we'll be right back.
Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both, airline and hotel, with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time. 800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Welcome back to America on the Road with Chris Teague, Jackney Redback with you for Road Test Time. And we have a very interesting pair of vehicles to talk about, including an all-American Ford Mustang that Chris Teague was driving. I mean, why don't we dive right in on that, Chris? Tell us all about it.
Yeah, I always like driving muscle cars, the Challenger, the Camaro, and the Mustang, although the other two are now gone, leaving the Mustang as the only true muscle car on sale. I drove the GT trim, Jack, but you can get this car with a turbocharged four-cylinder engine, 315 horsepower, 350 pound-feet of torque, for about $32,000, which isn't too bad, and you don't give up a lot with the four-cylinder. What do you think about the base turbo four?
I think it's pretty cool. I mean, I am out of two minds when it comes to turbocharged engines. I mean, you know me, Chris, we keep vehicles for a really long time, and I wonder about durability of a turbocharged engine over the course of several decades. I guess if you do the right maintenance, it'll be with you. But in terms of performance, it's a winner. I think it's really good.
Yeah, it's very strong. I mean, you don't get the V8 sound, which my car had. So it's a 5.5-liter V8 with 480 horsepower, 410 pound-feet of torque in the GT trim. The Dark Horse, which I believe you drove not too long ago, has more power than that. 10-speed automatic transmission is standard. The 6-speed manual is available. My car came with the automatic, and rear-wheel drive is the only option here. So, Jack, the V8 engine, you get a 4.7-second 0-60 time. We talked last week about how insanely complicated the Hyundai Ioniq 5's new drive mode selectors are. And I got to tell you, I think the Mustang is kind of edging in on that. Ford's Mustang drive mode select screen in the new infotainment system, it's just a mess. It's really hard to figure out. But just put your foot down and go in this car. I think you'll be just fine if you don't want to fiddle with a ton of stuff. The steering is precise. It's very confidence-inspiring. I like the brakes in this car. They bring everything to a stop very quickly. And even on a mountain road, I took this up into New Hampshire through the White Mountains. Didn't notice any brake fade. Granted, I'm not on a track. I'm not slowing down from 100 miles an hour repeatedly. But very good performance out of the brakes and the steering. And surprisingly, the ride quality here stayed very smooth. I think, you're not going to have a luxury cruising experience with this car, but it soaks up more of the potholes and the broken pavement than I expected at this time. What do you think about the new Mustang and its handling and comfort?
I think that's one of the cool things about modern muscle cars, and I guess this is one of the last of them, right, is they provide incredible performance. I mean, that 0-60 time is stellar. I mean, it's great stuff, great power and torque. And at the same time, they don't beat you up. I mean, they're not hard to drive. They're docile in traffic. They don't even kind of lumber at idle. There's a lot of good things about the modern Mustang, I think.
I really appreciate it. And, it is interesting to feel a V8 engine in such a modern car because, it's kind of a disconnect between the old rattle, rumble sound and then, have all these modern electronics. But I like it. And I think if I were buying a Mustang, the GT would be the way to go here because it's got all the goodies and not the big price tag of the Dark Horse. Inside, my GT came with leather upholstery. I think you get cloth upholstery and maybe synthetic leather as standard. Heated and ventilated front seats, which were an option here. Jack, the front seats in this car are very comfortable. They're very wide for my American-sized rear end. I think if you have kids and you want to take them on a trip, this car would probably not be your best choice. The back seat is best as like a package shelf just because it's so limited on leg room. And with the top up and the convertible especially, you really don't have much headroom back there. I didn't attempt to sit back there, but I think that I would have had trouble finding my way back and then getting out once I was there. Ford redid the infotainment system for this year. You get a 13.2-inch touchscreen, 12.4-inch digital gauge cluster, wireless Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, Bluetooth, a Bang & Olufsen sound system. And Ford does a lot of cool stuff with the Sync 4 infotainment system, including the configurable digital gauge cluster, which you can go back and do like Fox Body Mustang style gauges in the car. So it looks really cool. And then you also get with the GT premium trim a full suite of safety equipment, so blind spot monitoring, forward automatic braking, rear cross traffic alerts, and the whole deal. So Jack, for around $57,000, I think, you know, I don't want to call this a good deal because that's a ton of money, but it does feel like you're getting what you pay for. And if you like convertibles, this is definitely a decent option there, and it opens up the sound of the engine, so you really get the full experience with this car.
Yeah. Well, I love convertibles, and there's so few of them out there. I mean, you talk about access to the rear seat. It just seems like a two-door vehicle seems ancient, right? I mean, it's kind of like this is a 20-year-old brand-new car or a brand-new 20-year-old car or something like that. It has a lot of modern conveniences, but at the same time, just that configuration is, in today's terms, kind of oddball.
Yeah, you've got to be comfortable having a two-seat car in most situations. And I mean, the back seat is okay in a pinch, which I think most people probably use it that way. But you can't even do the Dukes of Hazzard jump over into the back seat of this car because it's so small, you probably crack an ankle. But front seats are perfect.
Yeah. And I wonder, too, about a lot of this electronic gadgetry. I wonder how many people actually do all this stuff that you're able to do. I mean, maybe if you're spending $60,000 on a car, you sit in the garage or, you know, sit in the driveway and figure all this stuff out. But I think a lot of people are just used to getting in the car and going, and maybe this is all window dressing.
Yeah, all I wanted was the loud exhaust sound with comfort steering and comfort suspension, and I could not figure out how to do that. And I mean, maybe I'm just dumb, but I find myself to be pretty technically savvy in most situations, yeah. And I couldn't get it to go.
Yeah. I mean, you almost have, they talk about the tyranny of choice. Maybe there's too many choices here. Maybe we're better off if they just set it up and off you go, and you either like it or you don't. And mostly you probably would. Well, let's talk about the 2025 Genesis GV80 Coupe. This is a vehicle we've talked about, maybe not the 2025 model necessarily, but we have talked about the GV80 Coupe since it was introduced. I went on the launch. This is a very good-looking vehicle, and I'm kind of surprised I don't see more of them on the road. I got a pass and live in kind of an affluent area where I think you would see a lot of these vehicles were they being purchased, but I'm just not seeing them. And I think that's a shame because I think this is one of the coolest looking vehicles on the road today, certainly of this type. I think some of these coupe styling SUVs or crossovers are a little awkward looking, but I think this one looks really great. Before we go any farther, how do you feel about the looks of the GV80?
Oh, it's my favorite Genesis. It looks fantastic.
Yeah.
And that's out of a lineup of cars that I love, pretty much unconditionally.
Yeah, they do a lot of great, great styling on Genesis vehicles. So, you know, the defining trait is its fastback roofline, which distinguishes it from the traditional SUV. It also kind of is like a step up in terms of all its powertrain and interior, all of that, a step up from the basic SUV. I think they try to distinguish it that way, too. It has 22-inch sport alloy wheels, a panoramic sunroof, power door closures. Yeah, it's tough to close the door by yourself, so having power door closures are good. It just shows, you know, the level of luxury in this thing. Hands-free liftgate. I like the powertrain a lot. It's a twin-turbo V6 with electric boost. That's what this, they call it an electric supercharger, but it doesn't actually drive a supercharger. It just adds torque to the program. And it all drives through an 8-speed automatic transmission. There's an electronically controlled suspension to go along with this. It has all-wheel drive. I just kind of like this all the way around. This, the electric supercharger, quote-unquote, is 48 volt. This is essentially a mild hybrid system you'd see on a lot of European luxuries of similar type. You typically think of high fuel economy when you think of hybrids, but this isn't what that's about, is it, Chris?
It's not, but it does do a good job at boosting performance. And you can shut the engine off and coast at times, but it is a good boost to the performance.
Yeah. I love the performance of this thing. It's really fun to drive. It doesn't just look great, but it is fun to drive. If you're looking for quote-unquote hybrid-style fuel economy, though, you're maybe not going to find it. I mean, it's 20 miles per gallon combined, 18 in the city, 22 on the highway. So that's kind of toward the low end of something on this part. I think even the Europeans that are mild hybrids have better fuel economy. Inside, though, this is one good-looking vehicle. I mean, as much as I love the outside, maybe the inside is even more impressive in this thing. And the test vehicle I had had a Nappa leather seating, carbon fiber trim. I kind of like that. I think that's kind of cool, even though it has nothing to do with performance, really. It just kind of looks cool. Microfiber suede headliner, leather-wrapped upper dash, so it's just really premium-looking inside. Heated and ventilated seats in both rows, power-adjustable seats with lumbar and bolster support, a heated steering wheel, one of my favorite things on the planet. The front center armrest is heated. I mean, your elbow gets warm, Chris. This is something a guy who lives in Maine can probably really get behind.
Yeah, and I got to test it in December, and I got to tell you, I put all those things through their paces.
Did you use the mood curator feature? This suggests atmosphere. I think it even emits aroma into the car, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm not sure whether I like that or not. My wife has installed some electronic plug-in, I don't know what you, I guess they're scent dispensers in our house that are kind of funky to me. I mean, it feels like a funeral waiting room or something to me, but what's your take on all that stuff?
The new fragrances that they use in those systems are a lot better. You know, like you think about the old Pine Tree air freshener you used to hang off of your rearview mirror, and it doesn't smell like that. But Genesis does a good job. I didn't use their mood settings because I don't really care to do that while I'm driving, and I don't sit still long enough to mess with it. So.
Yeah. Well, this has a very good infotainment system as well with a 27-inch OLED display. So you got plenty of digital display. It's just a good vehicle for around $85,000. I mean, that's a ton of money. But of course, this is competing in a very highfalutin segment. So I think it's a good value. And maybe you agree.
I do.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy you do. And when we come back, we will have a terrific guest. Tim Seward is chief designer at Onyx Motorbikes. Really interesting guy. So stay with us for that. And we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Ever find a deal so good you think, should I tell my friends or keep it to myself? That's Kohl's Summer Cyber Deals. Styles for sunny days, home favorites for your space, and more. All at prices you'll love. Plus, earn Kohl's cash, discover new deals daily, and get free shipping. These deals are too good not to share once you've stocked up first. Shop Kohl's Summer Cyber Deals now. Select styles, some exclusions apply. Offers end July 10th. See store or kohls.com for details.
Are you a fan of paranormal radio? Bigfoot, UFOs, ghosts, hauntings, cryptids, true crime? After Dark Radio with Brian Alvarez airs live on Sports Byline every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, talking all manner of the strange and unusual. From the latest news of the weird to interviews with the top names in the field, After Dark is your source for paranormal radio. Check it out, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, every Wednesday, live on Sports Byline USA.
Attention! If you owe money to the IRS, this is an urgent message. The IRS is cracking down by sending out collection letters, garnishing paychecks, seizing bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. They call it enforced compliance, and you better watch out, because penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily, making it even harder to get out of debt. Don't let tax debt destroy your life. You need to call Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax resolution firm. They're experts in taxpayer assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, Optima's resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. Let them fight on your behalf, helping to put your tax problems to rest. Call the tax professionals at Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-833-0733. 800-833-0733. 800-833-0733.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Progressive's Teen Driver Discount could lower the cost of insurance for your teenager and save you some money. And then you can still spend money on them.
Because just when you think you have a grasp on spending, new sneakers! And then it's money for a school field trip, and of course spending money. Oh yeah, and a new phone to replace the one they dropped in the toilet. Oh, don't remind me. So just get Progressive's teen driver discount, and then you can continue to spend money on them. Endlessly.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Discount not available in all states and subject to terms and conditions.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jackie Redd back with you. We have a terrific guest for you, a really interesting guy doing an interesting thing. He is a designer of electric bikes, and his name is Tim Seward. Tim, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, nice to talk to you, Jack. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's so good to talk to you. You, of course, work for Onyx Motorbikes. Do some really cool stuff. I love your website. Love what you do there. Pretty interesting stuff. Let's talk about just kind of the phenomenon of electric bikes, right? It strikes me that electric power maybe is better suited to bikes than it even is to cars. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it really depends on the activity, right? As I'm getting older, I'm not quite as active as I used to be in my younger years. I'm 43 now, and turning 44 in a few weeks. And I look at it as, when I was younger, I was very, very active. I had a high activity level. So I probably would still, ride electric bikes in the 90s, in the 80s if they were around. But, when I was younger and in my 20s, I was really into skateboarding and being super active and, just not like fit, like exercising, but more or less I was getting my exercise by being very active, right? So I think bicycles, the non-electric ones, the analog ones, as we would call them, would be really great for someone who's looking to for a workout, really getting their blood flowing and stuff like that. But I would say for most people, it's not a great solution for commuting anymore, because you have so many people driving fast on the road. There's not very good bike infrastructure for bike lanes and things.
Right.
And so in my opinion, you'll have hundreds, if not thousands, of people pass you in a day while you're riding a bicycle, right? If you're trying to commute on it. So you'll see very many, very few people actually will commute on a bicycle on major roadways. They'll take bike paths and things like that if there are some, but most places don't have
right.
that.
I mean, even recreationally, I think a lot of people encounter something that we certainly encounter in Manhattan Beach, and that's hills, right? I mean, I'm fine riding an analog bike on flat ground, but I'm a bit older than you, by quite a bit, actually. And, when I encounter a hill, well, sometimes I just have to get off and walk it up. And I'm very jealous of people on an electric bike who can use that torque to go right up the hill.
I mean, that's the same thing. Even when I was younger and I rode around on my BMX or my mountain bike, I lived in a very hilly area. I'm from San Francisco, Bay Area. And the hills there, as you know, are probably some of the steepest in the world. And when I was a kid, I mean, I'd always push myself to try to ride up the hills, and I could, but I would be thoroughly exhausted. I mean, even as a young teenager, I'd be thoroughly exhausted climbing one of the steepest hills on a bike, because, it was more of a challenge for me. Like, I got to do it. Like, I can't get off the bike. And you're going slower than you would even walk up the hill
right.
a lot of times, right? So it was kind of a ridiculous thing. And so I actually got into gas-powered mopeds, mm-hmm. not like the seated scooter style, but the actual retro ones that were based off of bikes and then eventually kind of turned into small motorcycles. And those are actually called mopeds. People today think of a moped as like a Vespa, but that's not, in my opinion, that's not the right term. That's a seated scooter. But the government has kind of confused everything, and so people call that a moped, and it doesn't have pedals. Like, moped means like motor with pedals, right? And so anyway, I wouldn't get into that argument because there's people who just like don't understand it. But the reality is I was riding around on what motorbike is a better word, right? So motorbike, I was riding around on a motorbike, which is essentially a small motorcycle. And that would get me up, sort of get me up the hills in San Francisco a lot better than a bicycle. And I sometimes, because they were, you know, if they were stock, like they weren't modified, I'd have to pedal a little bit to get it up a really steep hill in San Francisco. And I did that for, I don't know, like most of my life, right?
Right.
And then I started modifying them. And so for me, electric bikes really started to come around when I was just out of college. Like, I took a long time to get through college, but I was in my late 20s, and my first design studio job, the guy that was teaching me all of SolidWorks and all the CAD, he was dabbling with electric bikes in 2010, and that was literally kind of my first experience with it. And he was putting a motor on the front of the regular mountain bike, and he was going to Burning Man, and he had rattlesnake tires and all this stuff. And I just thought it was like the weirdest thing, but it was also so intriguing to see someone like build their own mode of transportation. When I was, you know, building Sonos speakers for, you know, consumer electronic brands and doing like power gloves and weird stuff for like gaming, and just watching him and on his free time making this really cool electric bike. The story for me was that I didn't think too much of it. I wasn't really that interested, and I was like, I'm still gonna ride my mopeds and stuff.
Right.
And then years down the line, like 2012. It feels like years, but you know, in like design history, that's a long time actually. And I literally started to notice that there is this insurgent of electric vehicles starting to happen. And so my friend, who was also really into gas powered mopeds, he had his own company selling the parts for him, and he kind of had the bright idea of like, why don't I turn one of these gas powered mopeds into an electric vehicle? And then he got me involved because I was, you know, he wanted me to design it. But he and like, it was really cool, but everything was so expensive. Mm-hmm. Like literally that bike would have cost about $7,000 retail. Yeah. And it only had 48 volts, which is now that's kind of a low voltage. That's more like your standard e-bike now. For a moped, that was high voltage in 2012. And then it only went 40 miles an hour, which is fast for some people. But if you're kidding mopeds, like the gas-powered ones, those can go up to 50, 60, 70 miles an hour. So 40 miles an hour is kind of your very bare minimum speed that you'd want to be able to achieve to be able to keep up with traffic and everything. So that's what got me into electric bikes, and I definitely feel like electric bikes became more of mopeds became more of a commuter tool for me to be able to get around San Francisco, and not so much like for exercise or anything like that. It was really to get A to B, and it was way faster than driving a car. I don't have to worry about parking. I can
economical, a lot of good reasons, right?
Yeah, super economical. Like, I mean, I probably save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars a year riding one of these, because you don't need no insurance. Like, you register them once in California, it's $23, and then you can ride them. And the only thing you have to worry about is they're getting stolen. And so you really, like, in San Francisco, you got to put a ton of bike locks around it. Like, I would have 4 bike locks. Right. But yeah, for me, it was a great mode of transportation, and getting into electric was the next step. And I kind of have a story of why I got into electric.
Well,
and why
tell
I came
that
back
story.
To it.
I'd love to hear
that. Yeah. So for me, between 2012 and 2016, I was still riding the gas-powered mopeds. My buddy who made that original kind of concept in 2012, he gave up on it because it was expensive. We would have to reproduce all these gears and parts for stuff. Like, the stuff wasn't available. And so it just looked like a really costly project. So he stopped. He moved on to go actually sell parts for like Honda motorcycles. So he's the one of the biggest vintage suppliers now. It's called 4-into-1. And he basically supplies all these aftermarket parts for custom, you know, vintage Hondas, like 70s, 60s, and 70s Hondas. So I think he's really cool. And I'm bummed that he never, you know, he was, it would have been really cool to work with him. But anyway, so I ended up kind of always thinking about that in the back of my head. And when I was at a design studio, I'm riding this really loud gas-powered moped to go back and forth, to work. And they were saying, yeah, bring it inside. It's so cool looking. It's like the coolest thing. You know, we're going to show this off. And then after a couple months, I remember them being like, oh, it kind of smells. I think it's leaking gas in the shop. And then like, okay, so then I would leave it outside. And then it'd get the, you know, the spark plugs broken off because of the homeless people use that for breaking windows and stuff. And so then they were like, okay, no, let's bring it back inside. You know, like we feel bad for you. And then they were like, wait, you smell like gas. And kind of making me feel like the outcast suddenly. And I was like, wait a second, you guys thought it was so cool. And now I feel like I'm being shunned in the design studio because I'm not the cool guy anymore. I'm like the kind of sloppy, greasy mechanic guy for whatever reason, because I ride on a moped and I don't drive like an electric car or, you know, Tesla was kind of starting to come around in 2014, yeah. 2016. But yeah, it was getting this kind of weird connotation of like, oh, he's not that cool anymore. And then eventually, like because I was on contract, my contract didn't get extended to work for Cisco. So I was doing a big Cisco project, conferencing project, and I was super bummed. And I remember out that a couple of weeks before I basically lost my job, I saw the person who interviewed me for the next, you know, the next job. She was looking out the window at me. I was driving away on my moped, my super old moped. And I was like, oh my God, she freaking hates me. And so I started to think like, wait a second. It's so weird. This thing is making people upset. And I do remember starting to think people were flipping me off when I would drive around in it. And, you know, people plugging their ears. Because to make it go fast, you have to make it really loud. And you have to do expansion chambers and all this stuff. And, you know, modify the carburetors, everything. It was fun to do. But I was making a nuisance.
So how'd you make the transition to electric? I mean, how'd that happen?
I literally said, you know, I'm going to take this bike that I love so much and convert it to electric. And I started looking to it and I realized everything went down in price, like significantly. And this is in 2016. And I didn't think about it as being a job or like making a product. I just wanted to make it for myself so I wasn't, you know, causing a ruckus and also just kind of impressing my friends that were into, you know, these gas-powered mopeds. And I started putting all these parts on it and I realized that this was even better than gas. I was able to accelerate 10 times faster than any modified. You know, I could put thousands of dollars into a gas-powered bike, and I still could not achieve the torque and the off-the-line speed. And then to get to the top speed, that was very easy. So it suddenly became a way better tool of transportation for me overnight, and I was super excited about it.
And that's the first of our two installments of our interview with Tim Seward, who's chief designer of Onyx Motorbikes. I'm curious, Chris, have you had any experience with electric bikes, electric motorbikes, or just electric bicycles?
Electric bicycles, for sure. I actually tested one back in 2020 from Mate Remots, the guy from Remots Motors, and went about 30 miles an hour, and it was a hair-raising experience. But I'd love to test an electric motorcycle, although I don't have a license right now.
Yeah, these are very cool, and I think you'll enjoy the rest of our interview with him when we do that in the next episode of America on the Road. So look for that next week. And when we come back, we will have a listener question. So stay with us for that. And we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical.
800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Welcome back to America on the Road with co-host Chris Teague. This is Jack Nerad back with you, and it is listener question time here on this July 5th show. We'd love to get your questions and comments, so please send them to editor@drivingtoday.com. That's editor@drivingtoday.com. And here's a question. I think it's a fascinating question. I'm curious as to your answer to this, Chris, and I have a thought, too. Lemuel in Salt Lake City asks this. He says, my check engine light is on. What's the first thing I should check?
Well, you should stick a piece of tape over it. I'm joking. Don't ignore the light.
Yeah.
Check engine light can mean almost anything in your car. I mean, from very little to catastrophic issues. You know, I'm not a mechanic, but I do think there are a few things you could check. The first is probably your gas cap. If the gas cap is loose in the back of your car. And sometimes I had a Volkswagen that would do that repeatedly. And then, you know, you can also grab a code reader and just check to see that. But I think that's probably the limit of my knowledge about this, Jack. What do you think?
Well, I think the first thing you should check is your wallet because you're liable to be spending some money. But beyond that, the first thing I would do beyond what you suggest, and that gas cap thing is, of course, a big one. That is a frequent cause of a warning light, is just check to see if the car seems to be running correctly. Look at all your other gauges. Are you getting other warning lights on the dash? Is something like indicating temperature is wrong or you don't have oil pressure, stuff like that. If the car is then operating properly, maybe having a code reader, you can get a code reader these days for less than $50, certainly. That's very useful, and run some codes on this thing. Understand it. It's pretty understandable for civilians to do these days. and then go on from there.
I agree.
Well, that wraps up our show for this week. Of course, my new crime novel, Only One Thing Stays the Same, is now available in both ebook and paperback form at Amazon. And I think there's a special on it during Prime Days on Amazon. So look for that. We'll have links to that in the show notes. If you like our show, please pass it on. Listen on this radio station each week and let your friends know where you hear America on the Road. And, of course, America on the Road is available as a podcast, right, Chris?
That's right. A quick Google search for the America on the Road podcast will bring us to you on all the major platforms, Apple, Spotify, all the rest. Like us, download us, leave us a review. All those things help us out, and you can take us with you wherever you go.
We'd love to be with you. We have YouTube and Rumble channels, so check those out. Subscribe if you'd like, and our thanks to Mercury Insurance for sponsoring the show and to our Sports Byline Network stations for carrying it. Most of all, we want to thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. We are honored by that. And we hope you will join us again next time for another edition of America on the Road.